You can turn with me in the Bible. We are in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 is our anchor for this series that we're calling More Than a Building. Ephesians chapter 4. And of course, we know that the church is far more than the bricks and mortar, isn't it? Like, this is a nice building, and we're going to be doing a big renovation starting in January to parts of the building here. But the church isn't a building. The church are the people. It's us. It's the people who believe in Jesus, have had the radical experience of receiving the saving grace of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join up in a location. That's the local church. That's what we get to be a part of. And what's so cool is we get to be a part of such a diverse body of Christ here. People from all different backgrounds. Some of us first experienced the grace of God when we were just little kids, like some of the first graders, you know, with flannel graphs with our Sunday school teachers, or Veggie Tales, depending on your generation. And that's when you first learned about the gospel and believe. Some of us later into adulthood, after we had some kind of, you know, difficult experience or a trench in our life, a time of great addiction or struggle, and we saw how the gospel saved us and it transformed our lives, and that's how we received the grace of God. Some of us have come to the grace of God through sort of an educational path of becoming convinced of the gospel and the truth of the Bible, and you became saved. And others, it was a miracle. Something happened in your life. You can't explain it, but you knew it was him, and that's why you're here, and everything in between. And what's so awesome about that is we get to join as one body from all these different backgrounds to be the local church. And we're so glad you're a part of it. If you're a part of this local church, it means, as we saw in our first week of this series, it means that you bring your brick to help build the body, or excuse me, the building that is the church. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul gives the analogy. We each are bricks of that building. And so we are to use our brick to build. We are to serve the church. And many of you really caught that vision. We had 170 people sign up for a way to serve here in the church. And by the way, if you haven't yet followed up with us, please do that this week. Check your spam folder if you haven't gotten your email yet. We're going to keep bugging you until you respond to us, okay? And if you haven't signed up for anything, but you want to be able to serve this fall, use this card. You'll see it out in our guest center. You can sign up for a variety of different ways to serve here in the local church. And then last week, we talked about what is the goal of the church. And Paul switched metaphors. He went from building with bricks to building a body, a physical body. And our goal of the church is to become like Christ, to become mature in every way, spiritually, like Jesus. And so our goal is to build resilient disciples of Jesus. We talked last week how we want to do that better as a church. So now we're continuing in this body metaphor here in Ephesians chapter 4, particularly in verse 16. And today we want to talk about the subject of membership in the local church, which I see many of you are very enthusiastic about. This subject, you know, I know it doesn't sound very exciting. We're going to talk about membership for like a half hour. I mean, membership, that's not like particularly exciting. You'd probably be just as excited if I said, hey, we're going to talk about taxes today. And you know, there might be like two or three of you that get really excited about that. Probably the same people that get excited about membership. There might be a correlation. But I do think this is an incredibly important subject, and I promise not to intentionally bore you today, okay? I think this is really exciting. I think it's important. I've given a good portion of my life to help build the membership of the church, to make this such an important thing. I believe in it, and I want to show you why. Now, a couple kind of caveats or reminders here. If you're a teenager, don't check out. Why? Because you can become a junior member. You don't have to wait until you're 18. You can become a member. And so be listening, because you can be a member before you can vote, okay? So you can be a member. For those of you that are here and you're not members, this is not going to be a guilt-based message. This is going to try to guilt you into becoming a member. I want to challenge, inspire you maybe. I want to try to reason with you from the scripture why this is something to consider being a part of. And for many of you, there's many of you here that are regular attenders. You're ongoing, unofficial members, we might say, but you've never really made that official. And there's lots of reasons, maybe barriers for that. Some of us, you have a theological issue or an issue around baptism, maybe, okay? But for most of us, if we're honest, one of the reasons you just sort of haven't gotten around to it yet, right? They say, I meant to sign up for that membership class, I just haven't got there yet. Or maybe you took the class and you just haven't yet filled out that application to become a member. And so that might be a simple challenge for you to, you know, go back through your inbox and pursue that, you know, pick up where you left off. But for many of us, we haven't become a member yet because you just don't really see it as that important. I mean, I don't know why that's that important to my life. Some of you haven't become a member because you are that commitment phobic kind of person. You can't settle on your favorite color, let alone settle on a church membership, right? So you have commitment issues. And for others, let's be honest, some of us have been burned in the past by church membership. You know, maybe it's just a sore subject for you, and so you've held back. And so wherever you are in that process, I hope today to maybe remove one or more of those barriers and open your heart to consider joining the church and becoming a member. Now, if you already are a member, don't tune out because there's a challenge. In fact, there's several challenges for you to make your membership even more meaningful here from the text that we're going to look at. Okay, so that's where we're headed, membership. You know, membership, the idea of membership is not new to us. We live in a world filled with membership. How many of you are card-carrying proud members of Costco? Yes, I mean, the free samples alone are worth the annual fee. We can agree with that. How many of you are members at a gym? Some kind of gym or fitness club, okay, a bunch of you, which means you pay $40 to drive by the gym and feel guilty a lot of times. How many of us are members of like a coffee shop, like Starbucks or Brewha or something else, a few of you, okay, which means you get every 300 lattes, you get a free black coffee, which is great. Now, there's a lot of unusual memberships out there. Some of you are members of unusual societies or clubs, the Flat Earthers Society. Hopefully, you're just doing it ironically to be a member of that, or the lawnmower racing club where you soup up your lawnmowers like you're Tim the Toolman Taylor from the 90s. Or how about this one, the Cloud Appreciation Society? It's a real thing, a real thing. And what's so interesting about that is our own Christy Pulig is an actual member of it. If you ever follow her on social media, you will see lots of pictures of the sky. Okay, that's kind of cool. Now, I can't make fun of her too much because I am actually a member of what you might find a strange club. I'm a member of the Philadelphia Mycology Club. You're looking at me. What is that? Is that some kind of like you need a doctorate or something like that? No, mycology is fungi. Mushrooms. Yes, your pastor with his dog Cosmo goes out into the woods and I forage for mushrooms and I take pictures of them. I actually really do it. I don't know. I know some of you are like, I didn't think you were that nerdy. I am, at least in that one way. But you know, some of you are members of weird clubs and societies too. So here's the point. We all know what it means to belong to something. But many of the things that we belong to, these clubs, these societies, it's mostly about what we can get out of it, right? Most of it has a low commitment. It's not requiring much from us. Maybe a fee. Maybe we have to attend one meeting or something like that. But many times, these memberships are built around our own convenience, something that we get out of it, some of our own interests, right? And so whether it's membership at the Y or it's membership at Costco or membership of a mushroom club like your pastor, they're very different from membership at the church or in a church. Because in the church, membership at a church is not about the perks or the points or the punch cards, right? It's about vitally belonging to a spiritual body where Christ is the head, the leader, where Christ died in order to purchase our membership. And what that means, friends, is it's just a little bit important, might we say, more important than a membership at just about anywhere else. In fact, anywhere else. And so, before we get too ahead of ourselves, as we talk about membership and why it's important, I first want to give a definition of what we mean when we say membership. Membership here at Brandywine is an official recognition by the church of your commitment to the mission, the ministry, and the leadership of the church. That's what membership is. Let me say that again. Membership is an official recognition by the church and the leadership and the congregation of your commitment to the mission to introduce people to Jesus Christ and help them follow him, to the ministry of this church, and to the leadership and the structure of leadership here in the church. That's what membership is. And so today, based on this understanding of membership, we're going to ask two simple questions. One, we want to first address, is membership even biblical? Two, is membership important? Okay, simple little outline. Let's tackle the first one. Is membership even biblical? You know, people will say, you know, I don't see any command in Scripture. I've read my Bible. I don't see anything that says, you know, thou shalt be a voting member of thine local church according to thine bylaws. It's not in the Scripture anywhere, at least not phrased like that, right? Not a direct, explicit command. But what I would argue is that membership is actually behind the scenes implicit in the entire New Testament. And I want to show you a couple of places of why I think that. Particularly, I want to show you a couple of passages that actually use the word membership or this implicit idea of joining. You know, the word membership is not something we invented. It's actually something that we find right in the Bible itself. Did you know that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, where Paul is talking about the body of Christ, listen to what he says. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Our official making of members here in the church is a recognition, sort of a way of seeing our spiritual membership within the body. So this idea of membership is already in the Scriptures. Now, let me show you from the passage that we've been studying, Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 16. I want to show you that membership is sort of the vital precondition for how the church works and how the church accomplishes its goal of building up the church into Christ's likeness. It's the precondition. Look at verse 16. From him, that is Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And even though this was written 2,000 years ago, Paul understood something about anatomy. He understood that there is this connective tissue, these ligaments that actually hold together our skeletal frame, right? Our body, our bones to bones. Because if we didn't have this connective tissue, we would crumble kind of like the scarecrow in Wizard of Oz, right? We just sort of crumble on the ground. It's critical for the skeletal system to have structure and support, right? It's the reason why, as football season starts and we see the quarterback, you know, go back for a pass and we see him not catch the guard coming around or the tackle coming around and hit him right in the knee, and then you all gasp at the same time. You go, oh no, not the what? Not the ACL. I hope he hasn't torn his ACL. Why? Because the ACL is one of those critical ligaments within the knee that supports and stabilizes that knee. And without it, right, well, pretty much his season's done. Maybe his career is done if you don't have that ACL in sports. It's that important. And what I would submit to you is that church membership is sort of the spiritual ACL of our life in the church. It's the connective tissue. It's what stabilizes and gives foundation to everything that we do. So church membership connects us so that we're not floating parts out there. It gives us something stable through a covenant, a commitment towards one another in relationship. And without those connections, the body will be fragile. The body can be very unstable. Super important. And so joining as a member, I believe, is indeed biblical. It's not some business term, you know, some metrics that were created by churches in order to compare, you know, how many members they have to other churches. That's not what it's there for. It's not a way to gain exclusivity or gain control over people. That's not why it's there. It's deeply biblical. It's relational. It's a practical reality to accomplishing the goal that God has given us. And so that leads us to the second question, which is membership important? And the answer is yes. So let's just close in prayer, okay? No, of course, it's obvious. Of course, yes, I wouldn't waste my time preaching this if it wasn't important. I want to show you three reasons, though, why I think membership is vital to the life of the church and to your life as well. I want to give you a structural reason. I'm going to give you a relational reason. And then let me give you a missional reason, okay? Structural, relational, and missional reason that membership is so important. Number one, membership is the structure, it's the best structure for care and accountability. Membership is the best structure to facilitate care and accountability. Let me get a little background to this. So as the church is born, first century, right? Church is born, early stages of the church in the New Testament, we begin to see the leaders of the church under the direction of the Holy Spirit begin to put order and structure into the local church. So the church isn't just kind of some, you know, hippie gathering of people, you know, that's, no, it's meant to be ordered. We see this in Acts 6 with the creation of deacons to help serve the people in the church and bring structure and order to the way that people's needs are met. We see 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, the Apostle Paul gives qualifications for leaders for the office of elder, the office of deacon in the church, gives how to be orderly when you meet in the church, like what should you do when you gather together? So we see this structure built into the pages of the New Testament. And what we begin to see, one of the things that Christ designed for the church is a structured reciprocal relationship between the members of the church, the congregation, and the leaders of the church. A reciprocal relationship between the two. And this is summed up well in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17 says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." Give an account to who? To God, right? Your leaders give an account to God. So what we see here, the leader's responsibility is to exercise oversight. The leaders are accountable for the health of the congregation and its members. And then the congregation's responsibility is to look to the leadership as an example to follow, to honor the leaders by following what God has called them to do. And so God has put this reciprocal relationship in place. Now, as a pastor, two questions sort of leap off the page when I read this. The first one is really for you, which is this: which leaders should an individual Christian obey and submit to? Which leaders should you follow? Any pastor, anywhere? The pastors at Aldersgate, United Methodist, the pastors at Faith Presbyterian or local church? A YouTube preacher? All of them? None of them? So which ones? And then the second question that I look at, more personally for me, as a pastor, which Christians am I going to give an account to God for? All Christians on the planet? All Christians in Brandywine Valley, all Christians that happen to enter the doors of this church, whether they come once or 100 times, who exactly am I held accountable for? And what I would submit to you is that the answer to both of those questions, the best way for us to determine that, to understand that, is in some kind of structured membership, where you as a congregant say, hey, I am going to voluntarily, intentionally place myself under the leadership of this local church. And I'm going to commit to them and they're going to commit to me in some kind of formal way. So however a local church does that, whether it's a laying on of hands or it's a vote or it's a class that you take or whatever, it's some way to be able to figure this out. Because now that might not sound like a big deal to you, but let me tell you, it's a pretty big deal to me. Because as a leader, it's really important for me to know who I'm accountable to before the Almighty God. And so that's the first reason. There's a structural reason. The second reason I think membership is so important is more relational. It's relational. It's this. It's that membership. In membership, it's the best way that we can practice the one another commands of the Bible. The one another commands of the Bible. Now back to our passage, Ephesians 4:16. From him, Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in what? Say it with me. Love. As each part does its work. It builds itself up in love. Now, how does a church love each other? I mean, you see, you know, people talk about, oh, love everybody, love all the time, right? Love, love, love. What exactly does that look like? The Bible tells you exactly what it looks like in the 59 one another's in the New Testament. I actually counted them this week. There's 59 commands to love one another through a variety of different ways, a variety of different verbs. And it's how the church helps care for one another. It's how the church builds itself up is through these different ways of loving each other. And in fact, I'm going to read the list of 59 to you right now. Okay, so let's go. Here we go, okay? I want you to get a full scope of how big of a deal this is, okay? So here's what the New Testament tells us. To be at peace with one another, to be devoted to one another, to honor one another above yourselves, to live in harmony with one another and accept one another, to agree with one another, to serve one another in love, to bear with one another in love, to be kind and compassionate and forgiving of one another, to teach and admonish one another, to encourage one another, to build up one another, to wash one another's feet, maybe even literally sometimes, to submit to one another, to consider others better than yourselves, to look to the interests of one another, to carry one another's burdens, to offer hospitality to one another, to use your gifts to serve one another, to clothe yourselves in humility toward one another, not to pass judgment on one another, to stop biting and devouring and consuming one another, and not provoking or envying one another, speaking truthfully to one another, and not lying to one another, to admonish one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, to not slander one another. About two-thirds through the other way through. Here we go. To not grumble against one another, to confess your sins to one another, to pray for one another, to greet one another with a holy kiss. I'm just going to let that one go. To have equal concern for one another, to comfort one another, to wait for one another, especially the Lord's Supper, to be members of one another, to not be conceited and provoking or envying of one another. And then basically the last 20 or so are to love one another. These are the one another's. Now let me ask you this, two questions. One, when you hear that list, how does it make you feel? To me, it does two things. One, it convicts me deeply as I read it and go, man, I fall short in some of these areas. But secondly, man, it inspires me. I mean, what a beautiful picture that the scriptures paint of the ideal of the church, of what we should be striving towards. Doesn't the world want to see this? Doesn't it need to see this? Don't we need this in our lives? This is what we aspire to. Now, let me ask you a second question. How well do you think that you're going to be able to live out these one another commands and receive them in the local church outside of a commitment of membership? How well do you think you're going to be able to do that? Let me tell you, it's going to be really tough to do that from a distance online consistently. It's going to be really hard to do that if you come occasionally and you're not really plugged in. It's going to be really hard to commit these if you never really make the commitment to the church. It's not impossible, but let me tell you, the best shot we have at obedience to these is making the commitment of membership, to really live these out with one another. See, Christianity is a team sport. It's not a solo sport. It's a team sport, and it needs all of us to do it. So we talked structurally, we talked relationally. The last reason I want to give you why membership is so vital is missional, a missional reason. Membership makes Jesus visible in our community. Membership makes Jesus visible in our community. Do you remember we started this whole series off with Matthew 16, 18, where Jesus says that he will build his church and he's gonna advance his church in the world. It's gonna be the unstoppable force of truth and salvation and light to people that are in darkness and need it around the world. And we are caught up in that vision even today. And just after he says this, just before he goes to the cross to lay down his life as the ultimate act of that would accomplish our salvation through paying for our sins on the cross, just before he does this, he meets with his disciples. We'd say the blueprints of the church, the people that would be the seeds of the local church in which we are part of today. He meets with them in this place called the upper room. And in John 13 to 17, we have this, what's called the upper room discourse. And a major thing that Jesus is doing during the upper room discourse is giving them instructions about how to live out this vision of the church, this unstoppable force. What is this gonna look like? And preparing them. And he prepares them with what we might call the secret to making Jesus visible in every single generation, every single community. So we know that Jesus is in heaven, right? He ascended into heaven. How are we going to see Jesus visible if Jesus is in heaven? And what does Jesus tell them? Over and over again in the upper room discourse, he says, they will know that you are my disciples. They will know that you are Christians. They're going to see me by what? The way you love one another and by your unity together, which means, friends, the local church is the and the one another's that we're experiencing together is the best way, one of the best ways for this community around us to see Jesus. When they see our love for one another, there are unity together, us doing these 59 commands together. What a beautiful vision that Jesus has given this world for human flourishing. There's many times I'll go to visit or talk to somebody that's been in the hospital and they'll say, man, the nurses and the doctors and my family members that have come, they're just shocked that there's people from the church that keep just showing up or, you know, calling or sending cards or say, wow, that's amazing. You have this whole community. That's awesome. Like, I want part of that. What an opportunity to share Christ through the visible manifestation of the love of Christ with one another. Somebody in our church right now struggling with panic attacks and sleeplessness, and it's been a real challenge for him. And he's brought some people around him just to pray, and there's this group of people that are literally praying for him at every hour of the day in a 24 hours a day. And what God is doing is bringing healing and transformation in his life, and he's praising the Lord for it. And when he goes back to work, I bet you when he gets to tell them, hey, here's what's going on in my life. Here's the people I had praying for me. Here's the people I had supporting me and loving me through this. Guess what? His coworkers, his neighbors are gonna go, man, that's incredible. Man, you have these people that love you enough not to leave you there? I want a part of that. What a visible manifestation of Jesus in this world. If you've been healed from addiction because of the ministry of this church, what a visible manifestation. If you've had your marriage resurrected from the dirt, amazing opportunity to show the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. It's through our membership together. Can you imagine? This is the kind of stuff that gets me so pumped up about leading a church and being a part of a church and membership. Can you imagine if every single person in the Brandywine Valley, everybody in our community got involved and joined a healthy church? I mean, just picture what would happen in our community if that happened. Just talking about things like statistics like violence and poverty and addiction and fatherlessness and divorce and on we go. Can you imagine what would happen? Some of the social agencies would have to close their doors because the needs are being taken care of right here in the church. How about this epidemic? How about the epidemic of loneliness in our community? The former Surgeon General said that loneliness is the greatest epidemic of our time. Chronic loneliness and isolation increase the risk of near death by 50%, comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes a day or a lifetime of obesity. Loneliness. Loneliness has been linked to all kinds of physical and mental and emotional unhealthiness, from blood pressure to diabetes to depression to substance abuse and suicide. A Journal of American Geriatric Society study found that loneliness increases the risk of cognitive decline up to 64%. This is serious stuff. But imagine if all of these lonely people, all of these isolated people joined a healthy church and meaningfully engaged in that healthy church. Imagine the reversal of so many of these statistics. Imagine the reversal of these dysfunctions and these issues. Now, is the church going to do that perfectly? Absolutely not. But let me tell you, it would transform this culture. It would transform a neighborhood. It would transform our community. It would transform our nation. It would transform our world. That's the power of the body of Christ functioning. Jesus, what Jesus designed for his church in its structure, in its one anothering, in its support, is an incredible gift to human flourishing in this world. Not even to mention salvation, in which we call and compel the world to in Christ. And this is why I'm so passionate about leading a healthy, growing church. It's why I'm so passionate about you taking seriously membership. So to recap, there's a structural reason for it of care and accountability. There's a relational reason. It's a practicing of the one another's. There's a missional reason. It's making visible Jesus in our community to win people for Christ. Now, whether you are an official member yet or not, I want you to know this. We want this for you. Yes, do we want you to become a member? Absolutely. But we don't exclude you from access to these places where we provide care and growth and the one anothering happens. So even if you decide not to become a member, you can access this. We want you to be able to receive that kind of care and support and growth here. Now, let me just share a few environments as a reminder where this kind of support happens. One, probably the backbone of our church, is it happens in our small groups, or what we're branding in the fall, life groups. In our life groups, where you get together with other people and for support and care, these are the people that are gonna be, you know, kind of have your back when stuff is going down. It's where you're learning the scriptures together, praying together, really doing life together. And if you're interested in getting plugged into a small group, Rachel Ortiz would love to help you do that and go online and find that. But let me tell you, we need some more small group leaders, because I think the demand is higher than the number of leaders that we have, people that could host a group in their home or host a group here in the church. If you're interested in hosting and leading a small group, we actually have a training on the 21st of September. Rachel Ortiz will be in the lobby. She'll tell you a little bit more about it. You can actually scan the QR code that you see up on the screen if you're interested in even attending that leadership training to find out more about what would be involved and whether that might be you. We would love to have you, okay? We'd love to have you do that. So groups, support groups. Some of you might need to be in our grief share ministry, where you can receive this one anothering in the season of grief. We have a ministry for parents of fathers and mothers with children that have special needs, and that might be an opportunity for you. We have group for widows. We have our Broken Beginnings group, our Reengage, and all kinds of other ones that you can find on our website, places to connect and experience this community together. We have our adult education classes at 10 a.m. starting next week. So lots of different places. You can use the connection card as a way to sign up or get more involved in anything that you just heard if you want to find out more information. Now, as we close, listen, maybe one of your barriers is to go, listen, yeah, I get it, Nate. I know the ideal, but man, what if the church lets me down? I've been a part of churches that have let me down before. And let me just tell you, we're going to let you down. Like, we are going to let you down in one way or another at some point. And the reason is because the church is made up of these little things called people. And people have dysfunction. We're not going to always get it right. There's going to be somebody that slips through the cracks sometimes. But kind of like in a marriage, where that covenant that you have helps provide stability, that when one person gets it wrong or the other, or they, you know, they do something they shouldn't have and they ask for forgiveness, that covenant is a way of saying, listen, I'm not always going to get it right, but I'm going to make it right. And we're going to keep growing and doing this thing together. And I'd say in many ways, the covenant of membership is a way of saying, listen, we're not always going to get it right, but we can make it right. And we can own that together and grow together. So don't let that stop you. And if you're looking for a perfect church, keep moving along. It's not this one. And if you're too afraid to jump in and commit, what'll happen is you'll spend the rest of your life kind of dancing around the church, but never really plugged in. Every 3 to 5 years trying to find a new church, and you will miss out on where the real growth happens. And that's why ultimately membership is in many ways self-serving, because it's gonna help you grow and it's gonna take care of you as well. So let's do this together. Two challenges as we close. Number one, if you are a member, how are you living out the one another's? Go to ChatGPT, go to Google, and just Google the 59 one another's. That's what I did. Okay? And list them out and maybe pray through them. Pray through them and say, Lord, where are you calling me to move forward in these one another's? Consider your meaningful membership here at the church. If you're not a member, listen, we have our Explore membership class coming up in October. We would love for you to join. It's 4 weeks, the 4 Sundays of October at 11:30, our last service. Sign up for that. You can sign up right here online. This doesn't commit you to becoming a member. It's an exploratory class. You'll learn more about who we are, what we believe, what we teach, why we're structured the way we are, our history, and what does it mean to actually be a member? What's that covenant kind of all about? That's the local church. May the Lord use this to inspire and encourage you in your next step. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege that it is to be called your body, in which you are the head. Speak to us, Lord, that we might consider what it means to be a member and take that next step in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen.